How's everybody doing this evening? Amen, amen. Glory to God. We got a few seconds. We're going to go ahead and get ready and get started in just a minute. Matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and pray, and we're going to get right into the lesson. Praise God. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. I thank you for each and every student, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are imparting into each and every student everything that they need to fulfill the plan and the purpose of God for their life. I thank you, Lord God, they're learning how to flow in the apostolic, Lord Jesus. And I thank you right now, Lord God, that any gift, any talent, any ability that you have placed on the inside of them, Lord God, that you will continue to perfect and complete it until the day of Christ. We thank you for our apostolic covering, Apostle Leroy Thompson, and the ministry that, Lord God, that you have called us to submit to. We thank you, Lord God, for ever-increasing Word Training Center and for the instruction that we're getting, Lord God. But most of all, Lord God, we just thank you, Lord God, for your Son who died on the cross for our sins. We give you all the praise and all the glory, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, for showing up and manifesting yourself in this teaching, Lord God. I submit and humbly yield myself to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to start off. I had a few questions over the internet. People emailed me concerning one of the quiz questions, and I want to make sure that we clarify it. Question number one on the quiz said, humility is the sum total of the capacity of a person's soul to submit itself totally to the power of God, submitting your gift, your talent, and your anointing totally to God. Now, in the book, I stated that the author uses the word spirit. Humility is the sum total of the capacity of a person's spirit. And the reason why I changed it was because one of the things we've learned here in the last probably month where the apostle was teaching, our spirit is perfect. Our spirit already wants to serve God. Our spirit is hungry for God. So we don't have to get our spirit in gear to humble ourselves before God. Our spirit is already humble before God. The moment you got born again, your spirit is perfect, because the Bible talks about you have your spirit is being recreated, and you become a Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. But it's the soul, our will, our emotions, our conscience, that we need to now get that aspect of our tripart being in line so that we can humbly submit to God. You know, Spirit, you know, going back to one of the scriptures that said that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, you know, and even in the area of the soul, the spirit is always willing to do God's will. But sometimes you have trouble with your mind. You have trouble with you know, things that from the past that's hindering you to totally submit to God. So the correct answer to that would have been true, that your soul must submit totally to God. Amen. All right. I just want to make sure I clear that up, because I had at least three, maybe four people who and I addressed a few people on it. But after I saw like a third or fourth one, I wanted to make it known over the class. OK, we're going to continue talking about how to build honor. Honor is something that can be built. We talked about a foundation, and we know that wisdom was the principal thing. Last week we talked extensively about wisdom being the principal thing, you know, and when you build up on a solid foundation, you can get that house and that structure up. You never start with the roof. You always start with the foundation, because the foundation is going to determine how high you can build and how strong that building will be. Amen. But one of the things I want to kind of go back over, because towards the end of last week, I didn't really do the serving to build honor. Serving is one way that we build honor. Let me turn back to my notes from last week. When you serve, it says here in Proverbs 27, verses 17 through 18, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. Whosoever keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waited on his master shall be honored. When you wait upon the master or on the man or the woman of God that God has called you to, you serve. You humbly serve. And service is something that we do because, number one, we love God. And God's called us to a ministry. He's called us to a place where he wants us to use our talent, our abilities. You know, God blesses. The Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift coming down from the Father of lights, where there's no variableness and no shadow of turning. So God wants us to use what he has blessed us with and give glory back to him with our abilities, our talents, you know, that he has blessed us with. And he'll call us to serve under a particular anointing or a man or woman of God. And that's where we need to plant our feet. Your feet needs to be planted deep into the soil of a ministry where you serve. That there shouldn't be no uprooting. You know, I served here for 4 years and now my time is up and it's time for me to move on. No, God doesn't make mistakes. And actually, it comes a time, and this is something the apostle started to share earlier, as far as with ministers, he made this statement. Even Jesus, before Jesus' ministry began, John the Baptist witnessed of Jesus' ministry. He said, you know, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, you know, and Jesus came to be baptized of John, and John was a witness to Jesus being the Son of God. And then right after that, once he was baptized in the river Jordan and he was brought up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." And that's when Jesus' ministry began to, not only did it start, but it blossomed. Because up until then, Jesus was just kind of in the background. He was in the temple praying or in the temple with the scribes. And, you know, but all those 30 years, he was just in preparation. And the reason why I wanted to go back to service, because see, a lot of times people think that I'm ready to do what God called me to do now. Your man of God, God will give him a witness to let you know when it's time to go out, if God's called you to do so. So don't leave on your own accord. Make sure that you have your man and your woman of God's blessing. I think it's time for you to move out, son. And now not only do you have their endorsement and their blessing and their anointing that you're going for, but you always have them as a resource that you can come back to. See, because technically you're never supposed to disconnect. You know, when God brings you to your man and your woman of God, that's for life. That's covenant. A covenant is not to be broken. The only reason a covenant would be broken is because of death. So when you come into a relationship and you serve a man or woman of God, you have entered into a covenant. You know, my wife and I, we've been members here for right at 25 years. We've been serving for 25 years, you know, and whatever is asked or requested of us to do, we just humbly move into whatever we've asked to do. And you see, that's where, when one of the things we're going to talk about in the next couple of weeks, that's where loyalty begins to kick in. Because now loyalty is when you're loyal to somebody, you're trustworthy. They know you can trust you. One of the best things I've ever heard the apostle mention to me says, "Son," he says, "I can trust you." That meant so much to me, knowing that my man of God says, you know, "Go ahead, you can handle it. I trust you," you know. And another thing he shared with me a couple of months ago, he looked at me, he says, "Good job, son." Well, I was put on an assignment, and the assignment, we got the victory in that assignment, and we were standing in the hall. He just looked, he said, "Good job." But see, you have to know your man and your woman of God's heart. You've got to know their heart. You know, pray. One of the things we're going to talk about, and I hope I don't use up all my time on this, but it's to know your man of God's heart. And what I mean by that is, Lord, show me what's on his heart. Show me, because the more you know, then when you're corrected, you know it's not because that person is just trying to be, you know, arrogant or brashful, but it's because they love you. You know, my dad constantly corrected me. Matter of fact, I was at my brother's birthday party this past Saturday. He had a surprise birthday party. And he's a police officer. He also is a military man. He served in Desert Storm. But he made mention to the fact of some of his lieutenants and his chief, because he's the third in command in the police force that he works under. He said, yeah, says my brother, when he was coming up, my dad, I think I even mentioned this in the class, that I would catch a whipping just for sitting around doing nothing. If I wasn't being busy as a man, finding some responsibility, taking out the trash, mowing the yard, you know, I got up ready to get up to go to school and got my clothes on, and it was still, I still had about 10 or 15 minutes left before the bus was going to come, so I laid back in the bed. He peeped in the room and he saw that. I saw that look on his face. I said, oh. But I should have, the look should have just told me, get out the bed and go do something, son. But I laid back down there about 3 or 4 minutes later. He came in there with the belt, said, a man don't need to be laying down after he didn't got up. You know, you got up, you got dressed, you need to go get busy, go get out of, and wait on that bus. You know, but see, that taught me, you know, nobody never had to get me up to go to work. You know, because you know, and you see, getting back to the heart. You know, because I knew my father's heart, you know, I knew he wasn't trying to do anything ill will to me. Just to, you know, the Bible says, parents provoke not your children. He wasn't trying to provoke me, but he was trying to instill something in me. You see, a lot of times your man of God, his desire is to instill some fortitude. You know, a lot of times he wants to jerk the slack out of you because he sees potential in you. You know, I played basketball, and a lot of times the coach would get on me a lot because he says, you know, there's potential there. And if, you know, it's easy when a person might have talent or ability that it gets to their head, but you always want to keep them on level ground because, number one, you need other people, but also, too, you want to keep them focused. And so when you serve, I'm going to give you another illustration, then we're going to move on. But, and I might have shared this once before, back in the old church, this was about 22 years ago, maybe 23 years ago, at the end of the service, the apostle, he concluded the message. He looked at me in the audience and he says, come and read the announcements and close the service out. And so I jumped up out of my seat. I said, praise God. So I got up behind the pulpit. And just standing in the residue of that anointing was frightening because, you know, you think you're ready for this kind of an assignment. And I mean, and I'm stumbling through the minutes and looking through the, you know, the announcements. And then I prayed and I kept looking back at him. He said, you know, go finish it up, you know. And when I got back down and walked off of the pulpit, on the inside of me, the Spirit of God said, son, you're not ready. You need to serve and learn. And that taught me a valuable lesson. You know, you think you can just get up and do what a man of God does. No, there's preparation. And you gotta watch close. You gotta observe very closely. You know, when somebody makes a mistake, I make a mental note. Okay, well that's not and I shouldn't do it that way. You know, so you always want to be, you know, I never forget he used to say when he would be at Kenneth Hagin's meetings, and he might be taking notes, and Kenneth Hagin would be ministering, and he's down there taking notes. Kenneth Hagin would just stop and just look at him. In other words, son, it's more important for you to look at me, you know, than take the notes because. I'm demonstrating things that I need for you to see, you know, but you're missing something, you know. And he said that from that point on, he had Miss Carolyn take the notes and his eyes was on his man of God. You know, and that's where serving comes in. Whatever your hand finds to do, you know, that's so very important that we understand serving will produce honor. You know, over the years as I served, honor was produced. I mean, I'm humbled by the fact that practically every LTMA master visionary, I have been their instructor. And in the natural, I'm saying, Lord, this shouldn't be. But it was because of years of service, 25 years of service, faithful service. You know, when you put on an assignment, you stick to the assignment. And when because, you know, Elijah served Elisha for 18 years. And when they needed somebody, it says, well, I know a man that poured water on Elisha's hands. You know, talking about Elijah, you know, in other words, he faithfully served his man of God. So and Elijah did twice as many miracles as Elisha. You know why? Because he faithfully served and he observed. The man of God says, I'm going over here to Bethel. So wait here for me. He said, no, as the Lord living and my soul living, I'm not going to leave you. And see, that's one of the reasons why the apostle, you know, I'm kind of speaking to people maybe who are in LTMA, but not necessarily LTMA, but people who are following close. When he's having a conference, he wants those people who want it to follow close. He tells them, follow close. In other words, where I am, I need for you to be there too, because the only way you can get it is to be in my presence when the anointing is being poured out and when the word is coming forth. Because see, there's things that happen during those type of sessions that are intangible. You don't feel it, you don't see it, but there's a residue of the anointing that's saturating on the inside of you. And when you need it, it's going to come up. It's like a well, you know, a well of water, like the Holy Spirit talks about being a well of water. It's going to just spring up. You know, something you heard or something he did, a demonstration or an example or just the mannerism or begin to just manifest. And you say, where that came from? That came from years of sitting, listening and learning and watching and being observant and serving. You know, I can't underemphasize serving enough. You know, it blesses me beyond measure when I see young men and young women. When I say young men, I'm talking and women, I'm talking about 35 and below, you know, serving, because I know that the future of the church is the younger generation. And when I see them stepping up to the plate and taking the baton and running with it and want to learn and I see them excited, you know, that's a true test of a ministry, because a lot of ministries are losing the young people, are losing the younger generation, because it's not even appealing to them. But when you got young men, teenagers and guys in college and in their early 20s, hungry and thirsty and serving in capacities of whatever I find my hands to do, that's letting you know that there's a transfer taking place. They see something, they see their future and their destiny, and they're heading towards it. Amen. All right, I really used way too much time on that, but that just I didn't really feel like I did it justice last week. All right, so now I got to move through this week's class. Okay, the sixth way to build honor is observing protocols and the law. Observing protocol. Okay, protocol is a system of rules that explain correct and procedures to be followed in a formal situation or setting. Protocol is actually a code of conduct. You know, every camp, when I say camp, I'm talking about different ministries as a camp. Every camp may have a different procedure or protocol that is followed. You know, one of the things that's a protocol is when the man of God comes into the sanctuary, you stand up as honor because you're giving honor to him. That's just a protocol. You know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. When the president walks into a building, he was in Louisiana a week or so ago. I know everybody at McKinley High School gym, everybody stood up. that's giving honor to whom honor is due. That's a protocol. But now in England, there's different protocols when the queen, and I don't really know them, but I know that every country or even in the natural, for different dignitaries, there's different protocols that you follow because of the customs and the mores of that particular culture or land. Well, in spiritual things or in spiritual camps, you need to learn the protocol. You know, as an LTA member, it's protocol for me to make first tier meetings. That's our prosperity revival, our ministers conference, and our camp meeting. You know, I mean, that's protocol. Protocol is for me to be on the conference call the first Tuesday of every month. That's protocol. Those are things that's required, you know, and it's procedural. And a lot of times it may not necessarily be written, but you know that it should be done, you know. And so protocol builds honor because it develops accountability and it shows your loyalty. It shows your commitment to an organization or to what God is doing. And that's so very important. Let's move on. Okay, a scripture I want to read here is in 1 Peter 2:17. Says, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. You know, and in protocol, we want to honor the king or honor the apostolic anointing, honor our apostle or our pastor that God has called us to. And that will build honor. When you know where the gifts that are in men are, in other words, everybody has a different gift, a different talent. You want to honor that gift. You know, I'm over prison ministry. And one of the things that really blesses me is when young ministers come and they join prison ministry and they're given an opportunity to minister in front of the inmates. And just watching their gift develop, watching you, some people, you can tell you he has a teaching anointing on his life. And some brothers have more of a preaching anointing because when they get up, they're proclaiming the gospel. But then other people are explaining, they're expounding, and they're breaking it down. And some people, they'll just admonish. They'll get up and they'll do an altar call. And they'll admonish people to come to the altar. They have a gift of exaltation where they're exalting and they're admonishing. And then this one brother, he'll get up and the Lord will give him spiritually a song. And he'll get just one or two verses or one or two words and he'll just begin to sing it out. Well, see, that's a gift. And you see, when you honor the gift that's in men, that brings honor to you because you're respecting what God has placed in them and recognizing it. One of the things I've had to learn to do is when I'm around other ministers, recognize the gift and the anointing that's in their lives and respect and honor that. You know, a lot of times I think I might have stated this, whenever after somebody would do the altar call in some of our prison ministry meetings and people come up for salvation or to come up to be filled with the Holy Spirit, they would call me up to lead people into the baptism of the Holy Spirit because, you know, over the years I've learned that the Lord uses me in that area where I don't even lay hands on people. I just do what God instructed me to do. And I tell them, receive it. And as I'm praying, people just start praying the Holy Spirit. You know, 100% results every time, whether it's two or whether it's 50. And I've seen 50 people at one time receive the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's just a gift that flows and other people have seen it and they honor it. And when certain times come and say, Brother Cam, can you come? Another good example, I'll never forget Howard Carter. He ministered a lot in that area, in the gifts of the Spirit. But his wife, she was more in the area of laying hands on people for healing, for various diseases, you know. And one person came up to him and said, Brother Carter, can you pray for me for this particular disease? I don't remember what it was. And he said, yes, I can. He says, but my wife is anointed in that area. Let me get her and let her pray for you because God uses her in that area. So what he was doing was he was honoring the gift that was in his wife, you know, because you see, the Bible says that we're to do the greater works. And not any one person has all the gifts flowing out of them. It's as the Spirit will. But when you know the people in your circles and how God uses them, well, then now especially if you're in a position to say, you know, Brother Donald, I need you to do such and such. I know you're anointed in that area. You know, Brother Dougie back there, I need for you to do this because I know that you're gifted in that area. Well, then you're honoring and you're acknowledging and honoring the gifts that's in those people and allowing that gift to flourish. Because that, you know, the Bible says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect and mature man. And that's what the body of Christ is supposed to do. Every joint is supposed to supply. And that gives honor to God. Amen. All right. Let me move on because my time is ticking away again. All right. Another aspect of honor is... You honor when, let me make sure I'm saying this exactly right. When you sow into the anointing, that's showing honor. The Bible says in Hebrews 7:7, it says, without all contradiction, the less is blessed for the better. This scripture refers to upward giving, sowing up that the blessings can come down on you. Upward giving, and that's so very important because The priest of the Levitical tribe was the tribe that the offering went to and the tithe went to, and they received tithes from the people. You know, and the people were showing honor when they brought the tithe, brought the offering, brought the gift before the priest. And so the priest now blesses it, and so what happens is the anointing that's on them now comes upon the people because of their gift. The Bible says your gift will make room for you and it will bring you before great men, you know. And so in the area of honoring, you know, you honor by your gift. Amen. Praise God. Also, too, submission is the breeding ground for the supernatural. When you submit, you know, let me say this here. If you don't follow protocol in honoring the gift, then what's on that gift cannot come on you. The anointing on their life will not come on you because of a lack of honor of protocol. But when you submit, submission is the breeding ground for the supernatural. When you begin to submit properly, well, then what happens now, you're yielding. That word submission and yielding go together. You submit, and then you also yield. When you yield, you give the Holy Spirit, you give him the right of way. When you're driving and you yield to another car, you give that car the right of way. So as you submit, now it's like an incubator for gifts and for healing. I'm going to give you an example. You know, when a person is put on an assignment, say, do a hospital visit. There's been times I've been asked to go and pray with people. And when I go there on an assignment, not a visitation. You know, it's an assignment. And what I do is we bring healing scriptures or whatever. We encourage them and we let them know you don't want no negativity around you. You know, while you're mending and you're getting better, you know, I know people are gonna come by, but you want the word before you. And so, what we're doing is we're learning how to submit properly, follow the protocol, follow the agenda that the apostle has set up. And by doing that, you bring honor to yourself, you bring honor to the ministry, and especially when the manifestation comes, then there's a rejoicing because of the fact that because of the submission, like I said, submission is the breeding ground. You know, you just don't do what you want to do. You can't just do what you want to do and expect the anointing of God to show up. Because, see, God, Hebrews 13:1, you know, all power, all authority is of him. And he is a God of order. So it's so very important that we learn how to follow orders and follow instructions. All of that is a part of protocol. All of that is a part of us submitting to God properly. Let's move on. The seventh way to build honor is through our giving. Proverbs 3:9-10 says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine." So the seventh way to build honor is in your giving. And I stated earlier that your gift will make room for you. Sowing a financial seed into anointed Saul brings honor. And the key there is the proper Saul. You know, when my wife and I first got married, we were kind of scattering our seed. We were so much to this ministry, this TV evangelist, and that TV evangelist, and this person, you know. And yeah, you'll get some increase, but you primarily sow your seed, especially your tithes, into the ministry and to the man of God that God has called you to serve under, because that's where you get all of your spiritual nourishment from. That's where you should get all of it from. One of the things I actually stopped doing, I don't watch everybody on TV, you know, all of the Christians. I just don't do that anymore. And the reason being, because not that they're not good, but that's a different camp. You know, God called you to a particular camp, so you need to stick with your camp, because at that brook, everything you need is going to be provided for you at that brook. You know, now, you know, when you think about, you know, agriculture, there are certain crops that are growing in South Louisiana that won't grow in North Louisiana. You know, I remember when my wife and I was at another church, it was just hard for us to connect. A good church, blessed man of God, great congregation, but that wasn't our camp. We were there for a season, and then when the Lord uprooted us and said, "Look, it's time for the go," and he brought us here, it wasn't a couple of months. We just connected like, wow, where have we been? You know. But you know it, because it's gonna bear witness with your spirit. Like I said, you know, several weeks ago, when the Lord brought us here, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, "This is where you need to be." And from that point on, I planted my feet into the soil of this ministry. You know, my tithes and my offering has gone into this ministry. And that's where the nourishment comes from. That's where the blessing comes from. And honor is developed through you sowing seeds into the soil or the ground that God's called you to. Never scatter your seed. Concentrate your seed in the soil that God has planted you to be under. Amen? All right, let's move on. Protecting the leader's anointing brings honor. Protecting your leader brings honor. This is the eighth way to build honor. I'm going to kind of paraphrase some things from Esther chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. In these verses, the Bible says that one night the king had problems sleeping. And so he had commanded his servants to bring the records or the chronicles for the nation. And while somebody was reading him the ledger or the records, it was discovered that Mordecai actually had stopped or spoiled an assassination attempt on the king's life. And so it says, and the king said, "What honor and what dignity was done for this man for coming against this assassination attempt on my life?" And they said, "Well, we have, he was not honored." And the author of the book says, the principle here is protecting your leader's anointing. I could park there for the next 3 weeks. You know, it's our job as servants and as those who have been called in the ministry of helps, is to protect the anointing or protect our man and our women of God. Protect the first family. And what I mean by that is, one of the key ways you can protect them is through prayer. Pray, you know, that you know, the angels of the God encamp themselves around them, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. You know, pray. One of the things we pray at this ministry, expose, reveal, remove, and replace anybody who don't belong here. You know, we only want those people that God has assigned to be here, you know, protecting them. When I'm doing praise and worship services at church, sometimes you might see me looking around and say, well, my brother Cal, I'm just checking out the congregation because I don't, you know, especially somebody new. And I'm serious. You know, I'm looking because you just never know. You just never. You see, one of the things I've learned, I'm going to share some illustrations. As a ministry grows and God's blessing the ministry, you know, Satan's upset because we tearing his kingdom down. So he's going to do whatever he can to bring some of his cohorts in there to disrupt, to cause havoc, to just do whatever he can to bring a reproach to the ministry or the man of God. And so it's so very important that you know, one of the things in the book, if you read your book, the author, he talks about, you know, getting people together, say once a year, train your leaders how to protect your leaders. You know, train the leaders how to protect the man and the woman of God and the first family, because the enemy will try to come against them, you know, and that's so very important. I remember in a meeting that we went to years ago, we were following the apostle. We were in Chicago, and there was this guy. He came off the street. We were in a large auditorium. He sat at a seat, and he just kept moving up. You know, I was sitting like on about the third or the fourth row, and I'm just kind of watching him. Then he found a closer seat, and he actually made his way up to, I think I shared this, to the first row. And then all of a sudden, some ushers came, and they had some vacant seats. They sat around him. And all of a sudden, while the man of God was ministering, this guy launched at somebody on the first row. But actually, I'm saying ushers, it was security. The two security guys tackled him to the floor. And you know, put a full Nelson on him, dragged him out, and I actually got the it wasn't DVD back then, it was VHS, because I wanted to see it. The cameras never even picked it up, and I'll never forget the man of God who was ministering. He said, "Y'all keep your eyes on me. They're doing their ministry. They're protecting my anointing. They're protecting the first family. You know, there are people that are come off the street and just, you know, see." We're not a local ministry anymore. We're a worldwide ministry, you know, and it takes each and every person doing their part, you know, and keeping their eyes open. And it's not just for, you know, for that. I mean, there's other areas where the enemy will come in and attack. And that's why prayer is so important. But you want to protect that anointing. Let's see, 12 minutes. Let me talk a little bit more on that. I stated earlier, and I read this, one of our prayers was expose, reveal, remove, and replace anyone who has wrong motives against our leader, the first family. And also, too, if they can't get to the leader, they'll try to get to the first family. You want to protect the sons, the daughters, the grandchildren. You protect them because, you see, one of the things you got to recognize, spiritual nourishment comes from the Bible talk we know about the heaven to earth connection. And I don't even like to see my man of God disturbed. When I say disturbed, you know, somebody do something and he's got to address it in his message. You know, who did that? Because he's hearing from God and all of a sudden now he's got to deal with a situation that probably could have been dealt with, you know. You want him freed up. See, that's why a jet is a protection of the anointing, because you're not around people that's going to vex you. You know, I shared that last week about one of my coworkers was kind of upset. Why men of God got to have jets? You know, but if you got a worldwide and God's called you to the nation, he said, go into all the world. He didn't expect you to walk when back then they had camels they used. That was the best they had. But now we got jets. Why we can't use what the president used? You know, when an office of an apostle is high, is much higher than the president of the United States. You know, so you got to look at it in a perspective. Like I said, you know, we're talking worldwide ministry, you know, and we need to protect, you know, I'll never forget, this was at a camp meeting. This is where the apostle ministered for Kenneth Hagin. And after the meeting, he and the first family sat in the hotel were eating, they were eating lunch or dinner. And well, it was around 12, so it was probably lunch. And it blessed me to see how his family was garrisoned around him. He was in the center up against the wall. He always liked his back against the wall. And they were all spaced out, you know, two on this side and two on that side. But it was a protection. And so people were coming up to him, you know, oh, you preach a good message. But in order to get to him, they had to first get to Reverend Leroy Jr. or Reverend Montrell. Now, both of them, Reverend Leroy Jr., he had just finished college then. And I think Reverend Montrell was still in either in the high school or junior high. So he was probably in junior high. But my point being was that they had to first get to it was a protection. They just couldn't, because a lot of times people want to come and they want to put their hands on you, you know. And one of the things, when a man of God, once they finish ministering, especially under the anointing, and they're coming out of that anointing, they're very vulnerable, you know, and they need to be protected, because, you know, they'll say anything, they'll give anything away, because it's just, I think I shared with this class, I didn't blew my notes away, but I'll never forget Kenneth Hagin years ago. It might have been at the same camp meeting. I was in the same hotel with most of the camp meeting guests. But anyway, for some odd reason, it was just God. My floor was like the seventh floor where the elevator went up to the penthouse, the top floor. Even though I hit floor number seven, it just kept going. And when the doors opened up, Kenneth Hagin was standing there, and two of his armor bearers had him on either side trying to hold him. The meeting had been over with for about 20 minutes, and he was still under the anointing. His head, his face just shined. It was like and the anointing of God flooded that elevator shaft. And it's like, whoa, you know, and you could sense the presence. I mean, he was still trying to come out of the anointing because it was such a powerful meeting. And so, I mean, but here again, he had armor bearers. He had people close to him, next to him. See, that's one of the purposes of LTMA and the 12 Master Vision Bearers, to be around whenever there's a supernatural money come to you. If you notice, they are all around the front. That's not by accident. You know, that's not because they get in charge seats. Yeah, they deserve them, but that's a protection, you know, protecting the anointing, because that anointing is valuable. You got to see it as precious. You know, God wants us to protect our men and women of God. You know, freeing them up so that they can hear from God. You know, and that's why it's so important for us to take on the responsibilities. Here we have 12 master life bearers. And our job is to help facilitate and take on responsibilities. He just can't be going everywhere and seeing about everybody. But he appoints and he puts people in position to where now, you know, he can just, with a phone call, says, Brother White, I need you to take care of this. Got it, Pastor. Brother Cal, I need you to take care of this. Got it, Pastor. And so now he's back doing what God called him to do, you know, but the work is, and you see, and that's what the whole body of Christ, and that's what this school is about, is so that you can know how to flow in an apostolic anointing. And it's just as though the man of God is there, because when you go in his to represent him, you know, you go on with his anointing. You know, it's not your anointing, but that's the anointing of God that's on him now, being because of the laying on of hands, because of your years of service and being able to trust and depend upon you. They know that the job is going to be taken care of. That's protecting the anointing. You know, that's protecting the anointing. God wants us to protect the anointing. And I got 6 minutes left. Let's move on. Okay, the next thing. Let me make sure I'm not missing anything. Let's talk about worship and prayer, which is the ninth way to build honor. In Psalms 149, starting at verse 6, it says, "Let the high praises be in our mouth as a two-edged sword, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, and to bind their kings and chains and their nobles with feathers of iron, to execute upon them judgment written. This honor have all the saints. Praise you the Lord. So the ninth way to build honor is through praise and actually worship. The Bible says that worship steals the enemy and the avenger. And well, I'll get to that scripture in a little bit. But last Sunday, right after prayer meeting and before church started, the apostle came out and he began to talk about worship. Worship sets the atmosphere for the supernatural. It sets the atmosphere for the word to come forth. When people in one accord worship God, that brings honor, because what you're doing is you're giving God the honor and the praise that's due his name. I mean, even when I lift my hands up, I sense the presence of God, because there's something about lifted hands. Especially in unison, everybody in one accord, not half of the people sitting down, half of the people standing up, because it's almost like sitting on the fence, you know, half your body on one side, half, you know, make up your mind what you're going to do. You know, Jesus says, I'd rather you be hot or cold than to be lukewarm, you know, and you don't want a church to be lukewarm. Half of the people flowing and half the people trying to wake up or thinking about, you know, what's for dinner or, you know, looking at their watch. You know, all of those things affect the flow of worship, you know. And so when proper worship is done, the anointing of God flows in such a, and that's when now God can show up and miracles and signs and wonders can take place. You know, while the word is coming forth or even during the worship service, people now get healed. They get delivered. They get set free. Matthew 12:15-16 says, and when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were so displeased. And he said, this is Jesus, and he said, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have you never heard, out of the mouth of babes and suckling, thou hast perfected praise? You see, when you have praise as a babe, or a suckling, a young, innocent, you know, animal, or like a baby, just purely praising God. With, you know, in other words, I'm not thinking about nothing else but God. Nothing else is on my mind but God. And he said, you know, thou hast perfected praise. And then that's really what's a fulfillment of a prophecy that came out of Psalms 8:2 that says, out of the mouth of babes and suckling, thou hast ordained strength. Because of thine enemies, thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When you praise God, the enemy and the avenger are still. There are things that praising God, when you praise God, that God will show up and he'll demonstrate his power that he may not in just a prayer, you know, because praise brings God on the scene. When you praise God, his Shekinah glory comes on the scene, you know, to demonstrate his glory and his majesty. And whenever he shows up, he never shows up empty handed. He shows up with benefits, with demonstrations and signs and wonders. You know, praise steals the enemy and the avenger. The last way, and I'm gonna have to probably pick this up next week, is covering. Understanding covering will build honor. Knowing who's you're covering, and let me just read it like this, because I got about a minute and 30 seconds left. You need to know who covers you and why. It is not enough just to have a covering. You need to know why. Strength and honor are her covering, are her clothes. In other words, individuals that don't know how they are covered don't develop honor. And the scripture from that was Proverbs 30:23. It says, her husband is known in the gates, and he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh her linen, her fine linen, and sells it, and delivers girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her covering. Just like a man is a covering for a woman, you know, we need to know who is our covering, who's our spiritual covering, because know why you're covered and know what the covering will do. Not every covering is the same. Not every covering is the same. So you need to know who and why you're covering and the purpose of a covering. You see, you don't want to walk away from a covering. Because you walk in, it's like an umbrella. An umbrella protects you from the rain, but when you walk outside of the umbrella, you're exposed to the elements. There are people that are protected and their lives have been spared because of a proper covenant. Yeah. You know, we have an individual in here, life was spared because of a proper covenant. You know, I'm one of them. You know, I know my life's been spared because of a proper covenant. You know, and that's so very important. Covering. We'll pick up on that next week. But I want to really spend some time in building honor. We've talked a lot about people who dishonored, but when you know how to build honor and how honor grows, and it doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes it may take years for honor to honor to come in your midst. But when you do what's right because you're doing the right thing and following protocol, you cannot help but be honored. Amen? All right. See you next time. Brother.